Well, we're celebrating baptism today at Passion City Church. Yeah. So we have some anxious, nervous, and excited family and friends over here who are ready to see their loved ones and friends and co-workers come and share their story. And every time we do baptism at Passion City Church, I want to come around and just talk about what baptism is. And I know when I do that, I already know in my mind, some of you are going, hey, we already know what baptism is. Thank you very much, but we've already been there. But there are a couple of reasons why I want to do that and why I love to do it and why I feel like God wants us to lean into the celebration of baptism today. One of the reasons is because a lot of you are new to church, and I know that. Some of you are just getting either back into church, but some of you have never been in church before, and you took a chance on Passion City because of your friend or somebody at your office, and you're hanging out here for a few weeks, and something's starting to stir in your heart, but you don't really get it all yet. You don't know all of what's going on yet, and I just want you to know today that as we come to baptism, I want you to understand what it's about. So we're going to talk about it today so that you go, oh, that's what that is when they do that. Because, you know, some people come in a church like ours anyway, which is a Home Depot expo. Used to be, and they see these things that looked Home Depot-like over here, and they're like, is this like real baptism? Does this actually count like in heaven? These things right here, I tell you this all the time. You're like, where did y'all come up with this? Well, look, it's cardboard stuff that you can close together and put in a closet, okay? That's what we have behind there. And the baptismal things, you order them online because that's the world we live in, right? You just go Google baptism. I want to baptize people, and you can find those things, and you get them. And we fill them up with a hose. This Atlanta public water right there in the thing. So don't drink the water when you're in there going under the water. But it's just regular stuff. And people say, well, does that even count? What does that do? And how does that work? So that's why we want to talk about baptism today. Second reason why we want to talk about baptism is because some of you need to make the decision to be baptized. And I'm really hoping that you'll make that decision today. See, the faith is not a private thing. It's a public thing. There's always been this sort of kind of like you can either be a public Christian or a private Christian. And I meet people like that all the time. It's like, oh, I love that you're out there, you know, serving people or serving God or whatever terms they put on what I do. But my faith is more private. And I'm like, you know what? I understand. Maybe you're saying that your personality is more quiet, but there's no such thing as private faith. There's no such thing as I have a relationship with God, but no one knows about it. There's no such thing as I found the most important person in the world, but I've not told anybody. There's no such thing as I used to be dead, and now I am fully alive forever and ever, but I don't want to let my coworkers know. There's no such thing as there's a way to be forgiven and free, and his name is Jesus, and I have found him, and it is so incredible. What I have found in Jesus is so incredible, I'm just going to kind of keep it to myself. See, there's no such thing as private faith. You say, well, there's such thing as private devotion. Of course there is. Private prayer, of course there is. Private journeying with God, of course there is. But there's no such thing as private faith. Because Jesus died publicly for the sins of the world. And he said, those who confess him publicly, he confesses publicly. Those who deny him publicly, he denies publicly. It all happens out in the open because it's that great what we're talking about. People yesterday all over the city going nuts. Georgia, Georgia Tech playing two overtimes down here. Gold and white and clapping going on the front row down here from the Georgia people. And there's black, and we talked about this last week. Nobody is in there going, I'm really, really, really rooting for one of these teams. But I'm not going to tell you which one. See, we don't live in a private world. We live in a public world. And we serve a Jesus who died in the wide open so that God's love could be known to the whole world. And some of you believe that, but you've never stepped across the line and said, I want the world to know. Some of you are 50 and you've known Jesus since you were 20 and you've never been baptized. And I want to encourage you today to let these people's story be the last little bit of hope that you need or courage that you need to step across that line and say, you know what? It's been way too long for me to sit back on the sideline. I'm going to step up today, and I want to tell the world that my hope and my confidence are in the person of Jesus Christ. And it is never too late or too early to do that if you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And so that's why we're going to talk a little bit about baptism today. We're going to celebrate them, and some of you are going to get that little bit of conviction in your heart, and you're going to think, my husband must have called the church and told them about me and said, look for us, we'll be on the 13th row, and she's wearing a beige sweater today, and look at her a lot while you're talking because God's working in her life. No, I won't need to know that because God knows that. And some of you, while we're celebrating today, God's going to say, do you really believe? Have you really stepped in? Is this really your faith? Are you really counting on Jesus? And if so, come tell your story. You say, well, my story's not perfect yet. Look, nobody getting baptized today. I checked. Nobody getting baptized today is perfect. I asked our team, do we have any perfect people getting baptized? They said, nope, no perfect people getting baptized today. Everybody is on a journey. Everybody is in process. Everybody is still on the way to becoming what Christ wants them to become. Nobody is completely there yet. What these people are saying today is not, I'm perfect. They're saying, I have found someone who is perfect, and I've put my hope and confidence in him and his power to do what only he can do in my life. And I bet every one of them is going to be nervous. I bet there may be a rare exception that someone comes up and they're just that calm as a, you know, calm as a cucumber. Is that how you say that? Cool as a cucumber, cool as the other side of the pillow. I don't know how that phrase goes, but you know, they're just that person. But most people are going to be really nervous today, because when they step in those waters, their story's going to be told. Their family, their friends are here, and they're going to be nervous in that moment. And I know some of you are sitting there going, I do that, but I'm just nervous, or I'd be nervous. You're going to be nervous, and it's going to be amazing. And God's going to encourage you today. The third reason I want to talk about baptism just for a couple of minutes today is because baptism helps us remember. And remembering is one of the keys to living in the victory that Christ has given you and me. Remembering is one of the keys to living in the victory that Christ has given to you and given to me. Do you know we have short-term memory problems, you and me? How many of you live with someone who has short-term memory problems? They lost something already this morning. They're going to need help finding the car, leaving here. They're going to start walking that way, and you're going to know we parked over here today. But spiritually, we all have short-term memory problems. Do you realize how much of Scripture says to remember? So God, think about this. God delivers Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea by a miraculous work that would have caused anyone to just fall to their knees and wonder. And then a little bit later, God says to Israel, do you remember when I led you through the Red Sea? And you're thinking, if you were standing there, you would say, what kind of question is that? Of course we remember when you led us through the Red Sea. We came out. We came to this body of water. There was no way to cross it. The Egyptian army was breathing down our necks. We didn't know what to do. Moses held up the staff. You intervened. The waters parted. The ground dried. And we went through. And we were saved. Of course we remember that. But they didn't. They forgot that God parted the sea and made a way when there was no way. And that's why when we read Scripture over and over and over and over, Scripture says, remember, 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 remember the faithfulness of God. Remember the work of God. Remember what God has done, so that when we get to our Red Seas, we don't forget. I know for our family right now, collectively, we are at a Red Sea in our family. And we're at a moment in our family where we have to trust and believe in God to make a way where we don't see a way. And when you come to that moment, what do? You say, oh no, is God going to come through this time? Can God do this? Can God be counted on in this moment? And when you get to those moments, you have to do what? You look back in those moments and you go, God has always come through for us. God has always been faithful to every generation. And so when we celebrate baptism today, we're remembering. What are we remembering? We are remembering that when we put our faith in Jesus, our old life died and our whole new future began because of the work and the power of Christ in our lives. That is what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating and remembering when we go under the water that our old life is gone and our new life has begun in Jesus Christ, and we have a brand new future in Him. That's why we baptize people underwater. That's why we do immersion. We do it like Jesus did it in the Jordan River. Jesus didn't go in the Jordan River so He could get, you know, sprinkled on by John. He could have done that up on the shore. He went in the river, into the river, and I've been in that river, so He waded out into that river so that He could go down under the water, because going under the water is the picture that the old me has gone away and a brand new me has now begun in my new relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect yet, and He's not finished with me yet, but He has started something brand new in me. And when we watch baptism today, we're going to remember that. I want to look at a couple of passages right before we celebrate these that are coming today to share their story with us. And I know the Word series technically took a pause, but I'd like to look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 20, because this is what we're remembering today, and it's powerful. And just to set it up again, I know some of you just got here today. Ephesians is a book written to people who have put their faith in Jesus. So if you've put your trust in Christ as Savior of your life, as the one who can take away sin, make you brand new, and give you new life, if you have joined your life to Jesus, what is being written about in Ephesians is true of you. Now, if you're on the process, you're on the road, you're in a journey toward discovering Jesus, that's amazing, and we love that. We love that you're on that journey. But this is not yet fully true of you, because this is true of people who have joined their lives to the person of Christ. See, what we're doing here today is not like a social club. Church is not like that. Church isn't like a thing where you say, oh, I think I'd like to join that one. We'll go check some things out. We'll get recommended from a couple of the members. We'll fill out an application. We'll go through an interview process, and then we'll become members of the church. That's not how this works. This works, this body, this house, by putting your faith in Christ. And when you put your faith in Christ, you don't just join an institution, you join up to the person of Christ, and Christ then gives you His life for your life, and a brand new journey begins for you. And that's what's happened to the people that Paul's writing to in Ephesians, and he's just reminding them of things and helping them remember. And he gets around to chapter 4, verse 20, and I want you to see what he's helping them remember in these verses. He says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way." Now, that way is, I don't know if we have these verses, but let me just back up and read a little bit of that way. Verse 17, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They've lost all sensitivity, given themselves over to every kind of sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." Now, we don't know anybody like that in America, 2013. We don't know anybody that fits that description. But apparently, in the time that Paul was writing to this very early church of faith, there was already in the community and in the fabric of life, people who didn't have any need for God. They were separated from the life of God. Their hearts were getting harder and harder and harder, and that led them to more crazy and more crazy and more crazy ways of life. And they just kept following after the deceptions of this world, and he said they just went further and further and further until they indulged in every kind of impurity, and they had a continual lust for more and more and more and more of the craziness in their life. And he said, so that's one way of life, but he said, hello, that's not who you are. And then he begins to remind them again so that they don't forget. He says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him, Jesus, and were taught in Him," who is Jesus, "in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." Do you see how Jesus-centered the hope of the gospel is? I'm going to read it with no pronouns in verse 21. "Surely you heard of Jesus, and were taught in Jesus, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." And so what Paul's doing is saying that there is a way to live in the world, but that's not the way you live because you've found Jesus. You have come to know Jesus. Your life has been joined to Jesus. You've been awakened to the person, the work, and the power of Jesus. And when you put your faith in him, that same Christ came and changed everything about who you are. We've spent so many weeks talking about this. I know I sound like a broken record today, but I'm just praying the Holy Spirit will just keep opening eyes even today. That someone today will go, this is not just the truth, this is my truth. This is not just some truth. I am in Christ, and because I'm in Christ, this is true about my life today. And you'll begin to receive that, take hold of it, and walk in it. And so this is what the result of that looks like. He says, as you read on in verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Now that sounds like this upper verses we just read. Your former way of life. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. So to put off, to take off and to dismantle any thinking that says, I live like this or like I used to live. He says, I want you to take that off. He goes, take off your old self. And then he describes it, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And put on the new self or the new you. Can we just say that together? We're going to put you in there instead of self. To put on the new you. Can we say it again? To put on the new you. So see, that's what happened in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Christ made a new you. You're like, no, I'm still the old me. No, you're a new you in the old you. You're a new you and an old you. You do have an old history, but you have a new Christ in you and a new future. Yes, you do have a past, but Christ has come in now to create a new future for you. You are a new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away. You're like, oh, some of the old things are still around. No, they technically have passed away, and all things for you now have become new. And that's what he's talking about. He's saying, take off this old you and be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self. And then look how he describes it. This new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He's saying that, you know, if you ever get around some people and you hear about a religion that tells you how you can become God, don't go with those people, okay? Because the scripture doesn't teach that. We're not going to become God ever at any point. We're never going to become God. But we can become like God because Christ now lives in us and is working to produce his very likeness inside of our lives. And he says, this is the new you. The new you is created to be like God. The old you is created to be like the deceiver. And it's all corrupt and it's all deceitful, but the new you is created to be like God. Some of you got around the Thanksgiving table and it gets a little scarier every year because you're seeing aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa and everybody's growing up and you're starting to realize I am on a track to look just like Uncle Charlie. This is getting really scary. Did that happen to anybody over Thanksgiving this time around? You're like, you know, when you're little, you fight that because you just believe you're going to defy the odds. You know, if something's going to be different. You know, Ryan Gosling genes got somehow in my family tree. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. You got Uncle Charlie's genes in your family tree. Those are the genes you're working with, and that's your future. So you need to look around that table and take stock of yourself because that's where you're headed and that's where you're going. It's an undeniable reality of creation. You're going to grow up and look like, be like, and in some ways act like your mom and dad and your aunt and your uncle. You're all in this thing together. But what God is saying, I'm interrupting that process spiritually, and where you used to have a root that just led to corruption and deception and decay, I'm putting in a new stream of life named Jesus, and now you have a new heart, a new identity, a new relationship with God, new possibilities, and new genes. And you may be sitting around the table with Uncle Charlie, but your father is God Almighty. You may be sitting around a table with some goofy people, but you are born of God in Christ by the power of the Spirit. You're brand new. And I know, I feel like we're just preaching this over and over and over, but come on, we still wake up in the morning, don't we? And we still think a lot of the time, I'm still the same old me. And Paul said, you know, as we celebrate baptism today, I want you to remember, the old you went down and went under. And in Christ, a new you has come up to live life. And you can change the way you think about who you are. And when you change the way you think based on the truth that we have heard and have come to know, which is in Christ, that truth, not some other truth, but when you come to change your mind to the truth that you have learned and heard and received in Christ, you can change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, you'll all of a sudden notice that you'll see some improvement in the way that you walk. It's kind of like if you went in your closet, you know, you're getting up in the morning and you're thinking, okay, I need something. It's a little chilly outside. So, oh, thank you so much. I have a butler at our house. It's amazing. When I get up in the morning, he comes out from behind the curtain and says, here, Louis, wear this this morning. You know, and so you can put this on and you're like, okay, here we go. I'm ready. I mean, this is actually really ready. It's lightweight. You can ball it up in a little thing, put it in a backpack, put it in your suitcase. You can throw it in a briefcase. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You can put this in your glove compartment. And you're like, okay, here we go. And so here's the thing. When you wake up in the morning and you start out of the house, what do you put on? What do you wear? Do you put on the old you? Or do you put on the new you? Because there's an enemy that wants you just to wear the old you today. Oh, remember Uncle Charlie? He's crazy and you're crazy too. Hey, let's get too far carried away with all this Jesus business, because you know we got a lot of water has gone under the bridge in your life, and that's probably the way it's going to be. And so you have to be really careful when you wake up in the morning and you go to your wardrobe to decide, what am I going to wear today? Because, you know, for most of us here, and I say this in a kind way, but for most of us here, you're deciding what you're wearing today. I mean, there are little kids here, maybe had a little help. There are people here with physical conditions, they might have had a little help. But most everybody here, and even those people said, no, out of the options, I'd like to wear that. I might need you to help me put it on, but I'd like to wear that right there. You made the decision about what piece of clothing you chose, and you're going to put that on. And as you put that on today, that's going to frame how you walk and who you are. And what Paul is saying is, make sure when you choose something, you don't pick the old you. So don't go in the closet and go, you know, I've always been this way, so I guess I'm going to be this way again today. So here we go, one more day of the old me. Here we go. It's all I know. It's my comfort zone, and it's all I've ever been. So let's get rolling today. And I'll do my best. I'll take my Bible. I'll try to link into Jesus. I'll try to understand how the Spirit's leading me, and I'll try to remember to sing the songs, but it's just going to kind of be the old me. And he's saying, no, take off the old you. Continually think about it in your mind. When you wake up, just walk in the closet and go, I'm talking spiritually now, and go, you know what? I'm not wearing this today. I'm not going to wear this again today because I don't have to. Christ has made me new. I'm celebrating and remembering that I've been made new. I need something else today. I'll just pick anything, just a random something. Okay, something blue. We had something black for the Georgia fans. Don't you love that? And then we got something blue, you know, for the Auburn fans that are in the house. I just grabbed things out of my closet this morning. I wasn't paying any attention. I just got the first two things that were in the closet when I got up. And I said, I need a couple things to change in and out of. And I grabbed this one. And, oh, yes, that feels good. That feels good. I feel a power coming on me right now. Something miraculous might happen right now. I feel like I could throw a touchdown blindfolded right now to a small infant, and they would catch it. And now, see, some of you are with me. You're like, I like that. I'd wear that. In fact, I'll wear that. If you take it off, I'll wear that. Others of you are stumbling spiritually right now, so I'm gonna take this off because your relationship with God is actually going backwards right now, and it would impede your process of hearing from God if I wear that for the rest of the talk. But the point is this, that you and I have the opportunity. Do you understand how God has put this in your hands? You have the opportunity because of Jesus. Put something different on. And that's part of our process. It's called sanctification. That's a big, giant church theological word. But what it means is that God works out what he has already worked in our lives, and we play a part in that process. So we're not infants anymore. Remember last week? We're not infants tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine and every kind of teaching and all the waves. We're growing up and we're looking in the closet and we're going, what am I going to wear today? Well, I'm not wearing what I used to wear. And I'm going to put on what Christ says is true about me. And I'm wearing that today. I'm putting off the old me and I'm putting on the new me. I'm not making a new me. Christ already did that. I'm just wearing it. I'm not creating a brand new Louis Giglio. I'm just realizing Christ lives in me and I'm putting on who Christ says I am today. And I'm not putting on the decaying voice of death today and wearing that one more time. I'm putting this off and putting this on. You know how I'm doing it? I'm doing it by changing the attitude of my mind. I'm changing the attitude of my mind. That's what he says. He says, that little phrase in there is so powerful. How do you do it? He says, you are made new, verse 23, in the attitude of your minds. And so the battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. Our victory is in our mind. It's in our mindset. It's in setting our mind on the truth that is Christ and that is in Christ. That's where the battle is. That's where the victory is. The victory is in our ability to believe that we cannot control circumstances, but we can control our attitude and the way we think. We have the power of the Word and the Spirit to bring the Word to life in us. And we can change the way we think. And that's what God's hoping we'll remember today as we celebrate baptism. Okay, so can I give you a couple of practical things then? And you need a pen and a piece of paper to write these down. Or you can type them on your phone. A little practical things because we're not talking about coats, okay? We're talking about real life here. And so there's a couple of practical things that I want you to think about putting on and taking off tomorrow, today, right now in this room. And here's what they are. And these flow right out of Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. You can go read it for yourself if you haven't caught up on the Ephesians series, or you can just dive into it again if you have. We want to put on the new man, and the new man is loved. And that's what we're putting on. I am putting on that I am loved by God, and I am taking off that I am hated by God. I'm taking that off. I think it's amazing just to say those words out loud in here because it is so crazy to me how many people go through life thinking that God hates them. In fact, it's amazing how many people go through life thinking that a lot of people hate them. And some of us here today in this gathering right now, you're struggling uphill to believe that God really does love you. And somehow you do accept the gospel, but it's more on a global terms for everybody else in the world. But you're struggling to believe that God loves you. And so when you go back to the truth that we've seen in Christ, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That whoever put their faith and trust in him, believed in him, would not perish but have everlasting life. And then he talks all about that in chapter 1 and chapter 2. In fact, in chapter 2, it says after he talks about how we're objects of wrath and separated from God, he says in verse 4, but God, who is because of his great love for us, because of his great love for us, the God who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. And so I'm encouraging you today to know that you don't have to wear the garment anymore in your life that says God hates you, because God does not hate you. On the contrary, God loves you. And you can put that on and you can go to your wardrobe of the grace of God in Christ and say, today I choose to wear what is true about me. I'm going to take off the fact that God hates me. I'm not wearing that anymore. And I'm going to put on the fact that God, in fact, loves me dearly. And I'm going to wear that out of the house today. I am loved by God. Well, how'd you get there? I got there by changing my mind to the truth that has been revealed to me in Jesus. Secondly, I'm going to put on that I'm remembered and take off that I'm forgotten. Maybe you got forgotten by circumstances. Maybe a spouse forgot you. Maybe a friend forgot you. Maybe you have been overlooked in life, and somehow you've just limped along with this idea that I'm sort of the one nobody notices. I'm sort of the one that's insignificant. My life never really seems to count that much. You can take that off today and take off that old you, which has been telling you the whole time, oh, nobody sees you, and God probably doesn't see you either. You can take that off today, and you can put on the truth today, which says, oh, no, not only was I not forgotten, people, I was remembered because God saw and came for me, and he's orchestrated the events of my life that I would know who he is and know his name. I'm taking off forgotten, and I'm putting on remembered today. I'm putting on that God is smiling on me, and I'm taking off, number three, that I should carry the shame of my life for the rest of my life. I'm putting on the fact that God is pleased with me and smiling on me, and I'm taking off the fact that I have made mistakes and I should live with the shame of those all my life. It is such a drag to say, Jesus has come, Jesus has died, Jesus paid fully on the cross for all the sin, took the guilt, the shame, and all the muck of our stains, but yet I'm going to get up again today, and you know what, Louis, I've made a lot of mistakes, there's been a lot of stuff in my life, there's just been a lot of stuff that I really regret, and I just got to wear it, man, that's what I do. I just put shame on, and then I buckle up and I just roll through the day. That's just kind of what I do. That's how I've always operated. And I do believe in God and I do believe in Jesus. But, you know, I'm still struggling with the fact that I'm pretty sure that this shame's going to mark me for the rest of my life. He's like, no, take that off. Take it off. Just take it off and say, you know what? I'm not wearing shame. We'll say, well, why? Is that some kind of like meditative, positivity thinking little move there? No, that's getting into the truth. That the shame was already worn by Jesus on the cross. And so I'm picking something else out of the wardrobe today. And what I'm putting on is that God is pleased with me. Not because of my righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. Put on the new self, which is being created to be like God in true holiness and true righteousness. That's what the verse says. Not my holiness and my righteousness, not self-holiness and self-righteousness, but the true holiness, Jesus' holiness, and the true righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. Can you believe that? Can you receive that? Can you wear that today? Can you put that on today? Can you put on today, God is pleased with me? You're like, well, I've made mistakes. Of course you have. I haven't done everything right. Of course we haven't. I'm not even all the way down the road of my journey yet. I know you're not. Isn't that amazing that he already has chosen you, smiled on you, brought you into his arms, loved you, and put Christ in you before you ever did one thing to deserve it? He already is smiling on us. And yeah, if you're opposed to God, if you're proud, if you're shaking your fist at God, at the very end, he might not be smiling on you at the end. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the gospel is open today. And Jesus is giving favor today to everyone who put their trust in him. Just two more things to take off and put on. I'm going to put on today that I'm forgiven. And I'm taking off that old me that I used to wear around that said I'm a failure. Some of you have been wearing failure so long and we're all tired of looking at it. No, I'm serious. We all are tired of looking at it. Some of you are so comfortable. You know, like I have two pair of jeans. I know it's a shocker to you guys. They both look the same. You're like, no kidding. Yeah, we've noticed. Get some pants, man. Maybe on your Christmas list. Get some slacks or something, anything. But you know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like that. You have those jeans or those shoes or that sweatshirt or that hoodie, and your family's like, you got to get rid of that. And then eventually you go out of town and you come home and it's not there anymore and it got lost in the dryer or the washer or the dog took it. No, man, that thing is beyond goodwill. It is in a dumpster somewhere, never to be seen again. Has anybody ever done that to you while you were gone? It's like, hey, guess what? We're going to rid you now of those shorts because we're not looking at those shorts anymore. And if I can just be a little pastoral today, on behalf of your family and your friends, a lot of them want to say to you, hey, we really don't think you look all that great in the failure. Because we don't see you as a failure. And God doesn't see you as a failure. Christ doesn't see you as a failure. Yes, you made a mistake, but Jesus forgave you. Yes, it didn't go down right, but Jesus forgave you, and we are forgiving you. We are living in the grace of God and under forgiveness. Reach in the closet and get some forgiveness and put it on and wear it around, because it makes God look good when we wear forgiveness and we don't keep wearing our failure all the days of our life. And I mean, that's what some people are wanting to say today. They're saying, hey, start wearing what you have and who you are. Go ahead. It's okay. Even to the tightwads among us, the wardrobe of grace came free. And you can just reach in there and say, I'm forgiven. Oh, do you feel forgiven? Doesn't matter. It's true. Is the enemy reminding you that you're not forgiven? Yes, he is, but it's true. And I'm changing my mind by the power of the Word, through the work of Jesus and the Spirit of God. Lastly, I'm going to put on sun. I'm going to wear sun today. I'm not wearing orphan anymore. I'm going to put on daughter today. I'm not wearing orphan anymore. I'm going to reach in the closet today in Christ, and I'm going to put on, I am a daughter of God Almighty. Thank you very much. I am arriving at work now. How did I arrive at work today? Thank you. I am loved. Look at me. I'm wearing it. I got an ensemble on today that will absolutely work for me. I got on a hoodie, a loved hoodie. No, it's not a new brand. It's God's truth. I got on a loved hoodie. I got on the most amazing lace-ups called Remembered. I'm just walking every step today knowing I'm remembered and not forgotten. God has not forgotten me. God has not forgotten me. People may have forgotten me, but God, my God, has not forgotten me. I buckled up today. I put a belt on today, and it's called the favor of God. The pleasure of God, the smile of God on my life, I'm wearing that. That's what's holding me up today. I'm not wearing shame again today. I'm putting on to pick another thing. I don't want to get too weird here because we're going there in Ephesians 6. I'm putting on forgiveness today and wearing it. I'm putting on the fact that I'm a son. And I'm arriving at my first destination today, already fully dressed in the power of who Christ has made me. You know, Jesus was baptized. Jesus Christ, 30 years old, starting his public ministry. And he comes on the scene. There's a man named John the Baptist who was a Baptist, and he was the first Baptist. And he was telling the world, Jesus is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. And when he saw Christ, he said, that's him. His words were, behold the Lamb of God. That's him. He takes away the sin of the world. That's him. That's the one I've been talking about. He has arrived. He is here now. The Savior, the Messiah, the one who's going to give his life to pay for our sin, the one who's going to be buried in our grave, raised up in life. That's him right there. And Jesus keeps getting closer and closer. He's like, that's him. That's him. You're him. You're the one I've been preaching about. You're the one we've been preparing the way for. And Jesus says, I want you to baptize me. And John's like, no, I can't do that. No, you baptize me. And he goes, no, you have to baptize me, because I want to announce today a new kind of righteousness. You can read it in the Gospels. I'm going to go under the water, and I'm going to come up out again, because I'm about to show the world who I am and who he is. And I'm going to begin by showing them there is a way for the old you to go under and a way for a brand new you to emerge. And when he came up out of the water, the scripture says a dove descended, symbol of the Spirit of God, down to Jesus. and a voice came out of heaven. And the voice said, "This is my son." You read the different translations. "This is my beloved son, in whom," do you know the scripture? "I am pleased." This is my son. Hello, everybody. Heaven is applauding right now. Heaven is on board right now. God Almighty, the Father, is stepping up right now. Hello, everybody. Can I just say it in the vernacular? This is my boy, and I love this son, and I am pleased with this son. I'm like, why? He hasn't walked on water. He hasn't walked on any water yet. Hasn't turned any water into wine. He hasn't healed a blind man. He hasn't given the Sermon on the Mount. He hasn't proclaimed good tidings to people who felt left out of the church. He hasn't washed the disciples' feet. He hasn't walked to Calvary. He hasn't laid his life down yet. He hasn't gone all the way through with it yet. He hasn't said, "Okay, drive the nails in," yet. He hasn't taken the blows. He hasn't been dead and buried. He hasn't been down into the lower parts of the earth. So what? And the Father's saying, "I know, but I'm already pleased in this son. This is my son. He belongs to me. That's why I'm pleased with him. And yes, he is going to do great works, but he's going to do them out of the acceptance and the love of his Father, not for the acceptance and the love of his Father. He's moving because I'm already pleased, and he knows that, because we're one God in three persons, and I love this son, and I want the whole world to know I love this son." And today, this is what's so awesome to me. These people are going to come and tell us about how much they think about Jesus and how they feel about Jesus and how much they love Jesus. And when they do, the Father's going to shout back and say, "And I want all of y'all to know how much I think about these people right here. These are my sons and these are my daughters, and I love them and I am so pleased with them." You're like, "How are you pleased with them? They haven't even done anything yet. They're just getting baptized." It's like, "Yeah, I loved them before they were born, and I have accepted them fully." This water doesn't wash the fact that you feel hated away. Nobody's getting in here so that they don't feel hated by God. They're getting in the water because they know they are loved by God. When you get in the water and go under, it doesn't mean when you come out, that's when God remembers you. You come out of the water because you already know God has remembered you. You don't get forgiven when you go in the pool. You go in the pool because you already are forgiven. Christ has done the work in us. That's what we remember today when we celebrate with each one of these.